Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين وقال تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, all of you are well aware of the fact that we are now almost commencing the noble month of Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Hijjah is no ordinary month. It is very sacred indeed, especially the first 10 days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. That a'mal saliha, righteous deeds, pious deeds done during these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and most probably it would be tomorrow if the moon is sighted today, tonight, then tomorrow will be the first of Dhul-Hijjah. So, a'mal saliha, righteous deeds, pious deeds, are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, done during these 10 days than any other day in the year. To add to that, if you look at the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. After taking an oath on Fajr, on dawn, Allah has taken an oath on the 10 nights. Most of the Mufassireen explain that these 10 nights, of course, refers to the 10 days also of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So indeed, we are now embarking on another very auspicious month. It is during this month that two great ibadat are taking place. One is the tenet and the rukan of Islam, and that is Hajj. And the other one is Qurbani, sacrificing an animal. We are not going to go into the masail of Hajj and the masail of Qurbani, but we are going to illustrate and highlight the importance of these two acts of worship in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may not shirk in fulfilling our responsibilities when these two ibadah become compulsory upon us. Perhaps somebody might say it is too late for Hajj now, but it is never late to make a sincere intention, to make a genuine intention, especially with regard to Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned very clearly, is mentioned emphatically, and he has sounded a very severe warning to all those people who have the ability, man malaka zadan wa rahila. You have the possessions, you have the means of embarking on Hajj, and you fail to do so. You have no Sharia excuse. It is merely out of your laziness, your complacency, procrastination. Many people feel, I'm not ready as yet. Because they have a certain fear that when I perform Hajj, now I have to abandon all my bad deeds. We are expected to abandon all our sins even before embarking for Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that person who has the ability to perform Hajj and he fails to perform Hajj, he may die a death of a Jew or a Christian. It is immaterial, regardless how he dies then. From this we can understand how severe the warning is. Therefore, I humbly make an appeal to all those who are listening and who may listen to this talk. If Hajj is fard upon you, you have the means to perform Hajj, find out the masail from the ulama, then make a genuine niyat and start making preparations for the next Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And that's what I explain now. That it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sole purpose is to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this spiritual journey of Hajj. For that person who has the means to embark on this journey. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. In other words, the person who does this act of ungratefulness, he has the ability to perform Hajj. The word kafara, if you literally translate it, it means the one who disbelieves. So he has the ability to make Hajj. And he shirks in this responsibility of his. Remember, Allah does not need any one of us. Allah is ghani. He is most independent of every single person and creation in the entire universe. Allah does not need any one of us. You and I need Allah Rabbul Izzat. And therefore Allah has given us these acts of ibadah. So that we make that firm intention and we embark on that Hajj. Man arada al-hajj falyu'ajjil ilayhi. That person who makes the intention, then he should hasten towards preparation for that. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the Hajj mabrur, and especially those Hujjaj who have now gone for Hajj. It is a different occasion. It's not like a normal journey that any person embarks on. It's a special journey. It is a spiritual journey. Dhunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi, the great sage of his time, happens to meet a youngster who was going on this journey for Hajj. So Dhunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi tells him, "Oh youngster, you are going to take this arduous journey, such a tiresome journey, so much of struggles and effort, sacrifices you have to make. Why are you going for this arduous journey?" We're just asking him. This youngster replies and he says, "It is arduous, the journey of Hajj becomes arduous and difficult for that person who is lazy and whose heart is void of the love of Allah. But that person whose heart is filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never treats his journey as something difficult for him. He never treats his journey as something burdensome for him. Every step he takes on this journey, he realizes he's becoming closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And therefore Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi meets a person, a haji, after performing Hajj. And how did it go? Nobody asked the haji, how was everything? So he asks, they engage in a conversation. And then he asks his haji, "Tell me, when you left home, did you make the sincere intention and tawbah of leaving all your sins behind?" In other words, did you make this intention of now changing your life and gaining piety? Did you leave behind your sins, or did you take your evil deeds with you? He says, "I did not leave my sins behind at home." Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi tells him, "Then you have not left home for Hajj?" Then he tells him, At every point in every station that you stopped, did you feel within yourself any progress in your station in the path of Allah? When we are reaching, we're moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go through different marahil and stages. Each time you stop somewhere, were you more conscious of Allah ta'ala than before or not? He says, I was not. He says, then you have not proceeded correctly. He says, before crossing the miqat, when you donned your ihram, and you removed your other clothing, did you feel and did you sense that you are now discarding the clothing of pride, self-esteem, and now you are donning those two sheets of ihram, of humility? He says, I did not feel that. He says, then you did not don your ihram correctly. He says, when you made the tawaf of the Baytullah, could you perceive the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that purified abode? He says, unfortunately not. Because my gaze was elsewhere. My mind and concentration was on other people making tawaf. And I was busy looking at the different beautiful faces of others. I was not mindful. And I was not conscious of the fact that I was engaged in making tawaf of the house of my Allah. He says, then you haven't made tawaf. He says, when you made sa'i between Safa and Marwa, when you stood at Safa, and Safa means something which is pure, did you feel that purity in your heart? Did you feel cleansed and pure? He says, unfortunately not. He says, then you did not make Safa properly. In Marwa, Murwa, did you feel the sense of now imbibing within yourself good qualities and virtues? He says, no. He says, you did not make Safa Marwa in the true sense. Or in reality, you have not made Safa and Marwa. Like this, he continued asking him questions. He said, when you went to Mina, then did you discard all the desires you had, the evil desires within your heart? He says, unfortunately, no. In Arafat, when all the Hujjaj were standing there, and what a beautiful occasion it is, where all the males are draped in these two sheets of ihram. The person, the Haji, is bareheaded. Somebody is crying, engaged in dua, the tears are rolling down his cheeks. Somebody is praying some nafil. Somebody is making dhikr. Somebody engaged in tilawat of the Quran. Everybody is talking to Allah. Like somebody said, as the Haji is walking and walking and walking, and finally when he reaches Arafat, he comes to a point where there is nowhere else to go. He halts, he pauses, he stops. There's no way. It is only you and Allah. And that's when the person reaches the pinnacle of his journey of Hajj. And it's that time when the person is begging from Allah. He's seeking repentance. In the riwayat, it is mentioned of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and two riwayat have been mentioned, one regarding Arafat and the other regarding Muzdalifah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles. When he was asked why he was smiling, he says, I saw our enemy Iblis, Shaitan. When Allah promised me that all these hujjaj are forgiven now, Shaitan, our bitter enemy, he could not swallow this. He could not accept the fact that Allah has forgiven all the hujjaj. فَجَعَلَ يَحْثُ التُرَابَ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ. Shaitan begins to take the sand and throw on his own head. And he begins to curse himself, and he says, wail, wail, wail. I'm destroyed. He cannot stomach Allah forgiving the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam let out excitement and happiness and joy on the occasion when he saw when Shaitan was in such a despicable, humiliated condition. He says, when you are on that plains of Arafat, did you gain the marifat of Allah? The recognition of Allah? Did you not feel closer to Allah? That bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you supplicated, when you shed those tears, when you said, Ya Allah, when you said, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, did you not feel the presence of Allah? He says, unfortunately not. He says, then you have not made Arafat. He says, when you took your animal and you sacrificed your animal, did you feel yourself, or before sacrificing the animal, he says, when you picked up, when you went to Muzdalifah, he says, did you denounce the love of the world in your heart? And this person looked down, he lowered his head, and he said, unfortunately not. Because my mind was on all those things that I need to purchase and take back home. He says, when you took those pebbles and you were pelting the jamarat, did you feel the sense of casting aside all those barriers and obstacles between you and your Rabb then? All those idols that come between us and those shayateen that keep on insinuating us and leading us astray. If you have not felt that sense of moving those barricades, then you have not pelted shaitan correctly. And finally, when you made sacrifice of the animal, did you feel yourself sacrificing your lowly desires? He says, no. My brothers, we perform qurbani every year, alhamdulillah. Hujjaj go for hajj all the time. But we fail to look at the spiritual dimension of these acts of worship and the real purpose and the real aim. It has just become a ritual. How many hajj I have performed, and how many people I have met, and how many deals I have made. This should never be the case. If you look at the Salafi Saliheen, they would go with such humility. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, it is mentioned in the riwayat, that his ihram had patches on it. With such simplicity, humility he goes and makes his hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma wa Allah, hajjatan, let it be a hajj, la riya fiha wa la sum'a, full of ikhlas and sincerity. There must be no show and ostentation in it. Who is making this dua? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went with such humility. The person's goal should only be Allah. Because he's bonding with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an occasion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these hujjaj, they are my wafd. A delegation, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. On the 7th of Dhul Hijjah, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, was the son of Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, who is one of the Ashara Mubashara, and he's the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Such a great sahabi, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. We don't have time to go into his biography. But on the 7th of Dhul Hijjah, he gives a sermon, a khutbah, to all the hujjaj who were present. It's amma ba'd. قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ مِنْ آفَاقٍ شَتَّى. You have come from different countries and towns and cities and villages. You have come as wufudan ila Allah, as delegations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hujjaj who go, they are the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such an important delegation they are, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in dua, Allahumma ghfir lil hajj, wallah forgive the haji. His dua is so potent, as we say, so powerful, so accepted in the court of Allah, that when he seeks repentance on his behalf, he is forgiven, and also for whomsoever this haji will make istighfar and dua for, Allah will answer his dua and istighfar on behalf of that person also. Allahumma ighfirli al-hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al-hajj. Allah, forgive the haji, and also all those people who the haji will raise his hand and he say, Allah, forgive that person, forgive that family member, forgive that relative, forgive that friend of mine. Therefore, we still have a chance when we phone our the hujjaj, those whom we know, ask them to make dua, and ask them to make dua of maghfirat for us as well, that they must make istighfar on our behalf. They are a special delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala said, فَمَنْ جَأَ يَطْلُبُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ طَالِبَ اللَّهِ لَا يَخِيبُ. That person who has come seeking Allah, he has come to cleanse and purify himself. He's there in Mina and Arafat and Muzdalifah. He's there in Makkah and Medina. He's seeking his beloved Allah. He's showing his submissive nature, his humility. He's showing that, oh my Allah, you are my beloved. I am your lover, I am seeking you. The one who seeks Allah, la yakhib, he is never at a loss. He never suffers a loss. He is always successful. And then Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala encourages the hujjaj. And he says, صدقوا قولكم بالعمل. You claim to be a haji, a delegation of Allah. And you claim that you have come to purify yourself. Now prove yourself true. In other words, don't procrastinate. Do not delay in doing good deeds. Do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not indulge in lewd talks, in futile talks, in nonsensical talks, in evil actions. مَنْ حَجَّ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَكَ يَوْمَ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. Muttafaqun alayh. Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim have narrated this hadith, narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that person who makes hajj, and he does not use any nonsensical talks and vulgar language, he's not lewd in his speech, he does not commit any sins, he's mindful of Allah, then he returns, he comes back home after hajj like the day his mother gave birth to him. Subhanallah. In one narration, Allah says, وَعَافِيهِمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. In dunya, I will bless them with afiyat, and in the hereafter, I will bless them with forgiveness. So Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala then reminds them, أَنِّيَا أَنِّيَا أَلْقُلُوبُ أَلْقُلُوبُ. Check your intention, O Haji. Do some soul searching. Why am I here? Why have I spent so much of money? Why have I undertaken such a long journey? Shortly after the Hajj, I will return home. Will I return home and go back and deceive all my clients and customers? Will I go back as a swindler, a cheater, a liar? Will I go back as a newborn baby, purified, clean? Will I go back pious, righteous, having such a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he says, Anniya, Anniya. Then he says, Allah, Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. He reminds them, you have come from far places. You have undertaken this long journey. فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. These are blessed days. تُغْفَرُ لَهُمْ ذُنُوبُهُمْ. Where the sins are forgiven of the hujjaj. And also us, those of us who are not gone for Hajj. But these are days again, as I mentioned in the beginning, these are blessed days. Seeking Tawbah, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, Tilawat of the Quran. The person who keeps fast, especially on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Now whichever day the 9th of Dhul Hijjah is in our country. So on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, if you keep Roza on that day, then all your minor sins of the previous year, and even the future year, the year that is going to come, all those sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How kind, how loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So Abdullah bin Zubair reminds them. In one hadith it is mentioned, what is al-hajj al-mabrur? Three different things have been mentioned. Ifsha'u salam. That the haji should be making salam in abundance. Spreading salam. It shows brotherhood. Hajj is such an action, such a deed, that the poor, the rich, even if you're the president of the country or you may be the king, and you could be an ordinary street sweeper, an ordinary worker, no matter who you are on the plains of Arafat, everybody is equal. And Allah looks at your condition, this civil hair, and your ihram, and Allah has pity on you. So Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu reminds them, these are days when the person is forgiven. That person who makes his hajj bimalin haram, with haram wealth, and then on the plains of Arafat, he raises his hand and he says, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Wallah, I am present, I'm ready at your service. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, Allah says, La Labbaik, wala Sa'daik. There is no labbaik for you. فَإِنَّ حَجَّكَ مَرْدُودٌ عَلَيْكَ. Your hajj is thrown back at your face. See how important it is, halal earnings. Your hajj, you're going, you owe people money, you have not even asked them for forgiveness, you haven't even repaid them. How many a person has declared himself insolvent? He owes people thousands and millions of rands. He does not even pay them a single cent and he's gone for hajj. How is it possible? May Allah forgive us. Then my respected brothers and elders, the qurbani that we will be making, inshallah, I'm not going to go into the different fadail and virtues, but what is the essence of qurbani? When the ulama have explained so beautifully, when you are placing the knife on the throat of the animal, then imagine and picture that now you are placing the knife on the throat of your nafs, your evil desires. That nafs that is pulling you away from Allah Ta'ala's obedience. That nafs that is causing you and urging you and prompting you towards zina and haram and riba and filth. So when you make that qurbani, and if you do it sincerely, remember, Allah does not need the flesh and the blood of that animal. What reaches Allah is our sincerity, our taqwa. So when we make the qurbani, the mashayikh have mentioned, what is qurbani, the essence of qurbani? It has to do with fana of the nafs, annihilation of the nafs. In simple terms, it is mukhalafat of the nafs. Your nafs draws you, it urges you towards haram. And qurbani, the lesson of qurbani, is towards submission of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, surrendered before Allah. Perhaps it could have been easier if Allah gave the command. Listen very carefully. Perhaps it could have been easier. I'm not saying this from my own speech. These are the words of the great scholars of Islam. And they said, perhaps if Allah had commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to take away his own life, it could have been easy upon him. But nay, Allah says, take away and slaughter your son Ismail, who is so beloved to you. Allah wants to see how genuine, how sincere, how loyal Ibrahim, who has got the title Khalilullah, the bosom friend of Allah. Allah is testing his muhabbah, his sincerity, his loyalty, his allegiance to Allah, that go and slaughter your own son. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam does so. He goes forward, and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam also tells his father, if Almat Umar, go ahead my father. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ الْجَبِينَ. When they both submit, surrender before Allah, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tries to slaughter, then we learn another great lesson. They are successful, and Allah says that you have been successful, and Allah brings a ram from Jannat in place of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah shows us that nothing can happen without the power and the idhan and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making our qurbani as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant all those who have gone for hajj al-mabrur, al-hajj al-mabrur, laysa lahu jazaun illa al-jannah. There is no reward for hajj al-mabrur besides jannah. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of them hajj al-mabrur and all those who have not made hajj, make a sincere intention right now and make every effort thereafter to make your hajj inshallah next year. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.